I'm the only kid they got that they
there
wanted.
You go.
Rest of them was accidents.
All right. There you go.
Preachers get up here and say, you know, pray for me. I'm going to be honest with you. You may need as much prayer as I do tonight.
All right.
Let's go to Exodus chapter 22. It is really good to be here. I appreciate the invitation. I appreciate the confidence. Last weekend, I was with Brother Shad McDonald, and I said, you know that you are a third of the man that Joey Height was. He said, well, if that, but how do you figure? I said, well, Joey's supposed to preach Brother Randy's meeting, and he's gone on to be with the Lord, and it took three of us to replace him. I don't know if he can hear me saying that or not. I hope I just give him pride. Can you have pride in heaven? Ah, boy. Exodus 22 and 1. The Bible says, if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. If a thief be found breaking up and he be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. If a man shall cause a field or vineyard to be eaten, and shall put in his beast, and shall feed in another man's field of the best of his own field, and of the best of his own vineyard, shall he make restitution. If fire break out and catch in thorns, so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. I'm serious now. We need help, me and you both. I'd like to preach tonight on what I'm going to call, do you still have that cow? Do you still have that cow? I'm talking about that one that you ain't supposed to have. You still got it? They tell me that if a man and a woman live together in fornication, we call it shacking up, after 7 years, it's common law marriage. I don't believe that. I believe after 7 years, it's 7 years of fornication. If you steal a cow and keep it 7 years, does it become yours? Huh? How long have you had that cow? How long are you going to keep that cow? What do you think you're going to do with this cow? On the way over here, actually last week in Paducah, I went by to see a fellow I used to pastor back in 83. He got saved when I was pastoring there and went by and seen him. And he took me out the barn and said, this little old heifer just showed up. I said, really? Looks like groceries to me. He said, that's what I'm thinking. He said, I called all the neighbors around and asked them, is anybody missing a calf? Nobody was. He said, I called a sheriff and said, has anybody called in looking for a calf? Nope. He said, I went and bought a bag of feed. He said, I've been feeding this thing. And I just kind of see brisket, loin. And he said in a few days, a man from 3 miles down the road showed up and said, I understand you've got a calf. Yeah, I do. He said, you think it's yours? He said, I don't know. I got a lot of calves. He said, well, do you have a cow that's recently had a calf? And he said, don't know. I've been in the hospital. Well, he said, if you was missing a calf, what would it look like? He said it'd have four legs. And I said, what'd you tell him? He said, I finally said, sir, this calf come 3 miles and showed up at my place down the road. I mean, you live 3 miles through the woods. It's farther than that around the road. Well, he said, I'm sure that's my calf, but you don't know what color it is. You don't know how big it is. Nothing. So I said, what'd you do? He said, I give him the calf. I said, he come got it? He said, he ain't come got it yet, and I bought another bag of feed. Now, to me, I think I'd want a little more information. But if my buddy had just took off one night and got his trailer and went 3 miles down the road and stopped, climbed over the fence, you could pick this calf up, throw it over the fence, and took it to the house. The Bible said, if a man steal and he kill it or sell it, he'll restore. One of them's fourfold, the other five, wasn't it? Something like that. I mean, tell you something. It ain't profitable to steal. This doctrine of restitution, you know, I never was a bad thief. I worked part of my high school at a liquor store. All right, I wasn't saved. And I worked at a liquor store, but I would drink sodas and not pay for them. I mean, the old feller wasn't there, and, you know, just a soda. And I mean, I was just getting it like $1.90 an hour, whatever minimum wage was 42 years ago. But I left California and came to Missouri, and I got saved. And a year, 2 years, whatever later, I got married, and we was going around Court Square one day. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I never did smoke. Ever. You know, I tried it when I was about 12 years old. It looked like it'd be an easy habit to break to me. I didn't like it. But for some reason or another, I went into town one day. I was on my way to a Boy Scout meeting, and I had on my Boy Scout Do a Good Turn Daily uniform. And I went in the Red Apple drugstore just off the square in that little arcade for some reason, and there wasn't nobody in there. I do not know yet what possessed me to steal 3 Canadian Club cigars. 12 years old, wasn't I something to look at? I'd forgot all about it. I went around a square, and I got this. Lord, are you sure? I went around a square again, and again. Finally, I pulled up in there and went in. This had been, I was 19 or maybe 20. I was 12 when I'd done it. And that same old fellow was working in there. I went in and I said, how much is 3 Canadian Club cigars? Well, he snatched 3 of them up and laid them out there and said, it'd be 75 cents. I wanted to say there's a nickel 9 years ago. He laid them out there and I said, well, sir, I don't want them. I just want to pay for them. He's looking at me a little strange. But I told your son before church, I got a picture of me on my phone here. Looks like holiness dreadlocks. I got magnets stuck all over my head, wires hanging out everywhere, and they run some kind of a brain thing on me. And I went in when it got all the stuff about, I don't know, it was a GED or something. Something. And I went back, doctor said, you're perfectly normal. And that fella's looking at me kind of suspicious. And I said, sir, when I was a boy years ago, I came in here one day and there wasn't nobody in here. And I snatched up 3 of these cigars and run. And I've come in to pay for them. How does that work? I had asked the Lord to forgive me of all of my sins. February the 2nd, 1975, just before I turned 18. And now here the Lord's reminding me, you owe that man for 3 cigars. Wow. I had to go back in and pay. And like I said, there's a nickel when I stole them. There's a quarter when I went in and make restitution. Yeah. This is a real simple message. Have you still got that cow? I asked the Lord to forgive me. have you still got the cow? Because if you've still got the cow, you can't be at peace with your conscience, and you cannot be at peace with your neighbor if you've still got the cow. There's somebody down the road, a farmer down there around the corner, somewhere around there, that's missing a cow, and you've got it, and your forgiveness from God ain't worth a whole lot to him. This is really simple, but I'm digging a trap for you. Like I said, I'm needing you to pray for me, and I've been praying for you. It's not profitable to steal. In Luke chapter 19, Zacchaeus comes down from the tree and takes the Lord home with him, like you did when you got saved. In a little bit, they come right back out, I suppose, right under that same tree. I don't know where. Surely everybody didn't go home with Zacchaeus just like the Lord did, that big multitude, but they got back out there somewhere, and Zacchaeus looked the crowd over and said, if there's anybody here that I have cheated, I'm going to put this in Ozark hillbilly language, if I have done you wrong, if I owe you anything, I'm going to give it back fourfold. Jesus Christ reared back and said, this day salvation has come to this house because this man made restitution. I'm here to tell you tonight, you can't steal the cow and then ask God to forgive you and keep the cow. It can't be done. Zacchaeus didn't get by with it. Paul said, I have a conscience void of offense toward God and man. And man. I went back to that liquor store where I worked in 1974. In 2014, I flew out there to see my daughter. It's in the Navy. I rented a car, went down there, and I found Rainbow Liquor on the corner on Assateague Street. And I went in. There's a fella standing there. And I said, sir, who owns this store? And he was like, no speak English, speak Spanish or something. And I asked him again, finally, between my Spanish and his English, and we got it figured out. And he said, I do not know. The store is owned by Arab. Well, the fellow I worked for was a Jew. And he had a name that long that I couldn't pronounce. But it was obvious the people that owned that store weren't there anymore. If they had been, I owed him for some Dr. Peppers. I owed him for some candy bars I just eat and throw the wrapper and think he ain't going to miss it. I mean, he's filthy rich. He's got this store and he's only paying me minimum wage. I'm worth $10 an hour. I made an effort. Zacchaeus said fourfold. Somehow or another, he wasn't going to get by with himself or with God by saying, if I've wronged you, I'm just going to make it right. I just want to break even. It does not pay. Sin is not profitable. And stealing is one of the worst things you can do that's not profitable. Proverbs 6:30-31, the Bible says, if a man steal to satisfy his soul when he's hungry, people don't despise him. But if he be found, he shall pay sevenfold. He's going to make it right. You need to think about that whenever you're thinking about something to do or something you've already done. Should I do this? Am I going to be able to face this just a little while from now? Hey, man, God can forgive. God does forgive anything you can come up with. But that doesn't mean you can keep the cow. There'll be a day when you're milking that cow or when you're taking that thing down to the slaughterhouse when it's going to come back to you. I got this cow by dishonesty. This is not my cow. You're liable to pass that man on your way to the slaughterhouse with that cow loaded up. And as you go by, he's out there toiling in his field or doing some kind of labor. And you think that poor man shouldn't be working that hard. I've got his cow. These are his steaks. This is his milk. I need to give this back to him. Proverbs 6:30-31, you don't steal. I mean, if you steal to satisfy your soul when you're hungry, people don't despise you. But he'll pay sevenfold, and he will give all the substance of his house. Because there are people that have taken things down through the year that when they got caught or when they got found out, they didn't have it anymore. And so just like when you borrow money, you don't just put whatever you're borrowing, you know, for collateral. The wise man said, why should he take thy bed from under thee? Whenever you put your name on the line, you're putting your reputation, you're putting your honor on the line, and not just the automobile or the whatever. I don't want to sidetrack myself, but I've got something that eats on me when preachers go and file for bankruptcy protection. You didn't hear that, did you? Turn me up. Preachers, I know them that had debts. Went and one of them came to me and said, I'm free. Been set free. He was hallelujah. He just making big light of it. And he'd got $500,000 in debt canceled. $500,000. Let me ask you something. Just because another man on this planet says you don't have to pay it, does that mean God says you don't have to pay it? I've been in business myself, and I've had men go bankrupt, and you can't even ask them for what they owe you. I mean, you go downtown, you're thinking, one fella, he went bankrupt. He owned a restaurant, and he owed me money. Whenever he closed the thing down, he went and turned the electricity off and went away from it. Left cases of steaks in there. I'd have took anything. He's been glad to get something. Steaks better. Steaks are pretty good. He owes me money. You know, I don't care what that judge says. The judge can say, I'm canceling your debt. You don't owe Ronnie Wheeler a thing. But somehow or another, Ronnie Wheeler still feels like I did the work. I put the chemical into it and the time into it. I don't care what the judge says. You do owe me. And so we got preachers nowadays. I can name three right off the top of my head that have went and filed for bankruptcy protection. I think they can't keep the cow. I really am going somewhere. I'm just taking a little longer to get there than I should. I preached something like this. I've never preached this before. But I preached something like this at my church some years ago. After church, my first convert, who's now on my board, big old boy named Don, comes sauntering up to me in his overalls. He looked at me and said, I stole one thing in my entire life. And now, thanks. He said, I got to go fix it. I said, well, tell me about it. He said, I went in Walmart years and years ago and paid for a potted plant. When you pay for it, you take your receipt out and give it to whoever's working out there. I bought a potted plant. He said, they gave me my potted plant and let me keep my receipt. He said, I went back later that afternoon. They had a new person working out there and presented my receipt and got another potted plant. He said, that is the only thing I have ever stolen in my life. And he said, I got to go fix it. And I said, well, I've done the same thing. Let me know how it turns out. He went down the very next day, went into Walmart, and said, I need to talk to the manager, and got back in there, his head down. He weighs 400 pounds. He's just a big old hillbilly in overalls, and he told the man what all he'd done. And the man said, how long ago has that been? Well, it'd been years and years ago. Well, he said, do you have any idea how much it was? Well, I thought it was this much. He said, well, fork it over. He said, I paid the man. He said, I went in there feeling bad. I went in there feeling embarrassed, and how am I going to do this? How am I going to confess this? But he said, I came out of there feeling so good, feeling so free and so clean. Everything is fixed up. Nothing standing between me and God now because I got that fixed. You probably remember Leon Buzzard telling about an old boy seeking the Holy Ghost. He got up one night. He'd been seeking the Holy Ghost for a while. He wasn't getting anywhere. I got to do it. Next day, somebody seen him going through town. Y'all carry chickens by the feet, live chickens. He had both fists full of chickens. He went up to a picket fence and pushed it open, went up on the porch, knocked on the door, man come. He said, sir, They knew each other. He said, I come over here sometime way back and stole some chickens. I don't even remember how many, but I've come over here to make it right. And the man said, you get religion or something? He said, yes, sir, I'm trying to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The old boy laughed about it. I put him around back there. He went around there and took him chickens and just threw them in the backyard. And he's starting to feel a little bit better. He went out there. When he opened that gate, stepped outside and shut that gate behind him, he said, the Holy Ghost hit me and knocked me in the ditch and went speaking in tongues. Got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There was something standing between him and God. Amen. He had an offense toward a man that God loved just as much as he loved Leon Buzzer. And God was sitting up there saying, all right, I am God the Father. You're my son. He's my son. And I'm not going to put up with a rift between y'all. Said to Sini, got the Holy Ghost, come church that night, told all about it. Said to Sini the next day, going through town, had two handfuls of chickens going through town. I mean, just done him so much good, going to take chickens back everywhere, make it all right. And man, do you believe, I'm going to ask you again, my title, you still got that cow? I ain't there yet. I ain't there yet. It's just 7:15 where I'm from. I'm feeling like 7:15. Hindrance to healing. I wonder why I can't get healed. We pray for so-and-so every service. I wonder why I can't get healed. Didn't the Bible say when you come up, you won't be prayed for healing? When you're sick, confess your faults one to another. Could it very well be that God's saying, I'm going to heal you just as soon as you do what I said to do and get that fixed? You have got to make a confession, because as long as you're not right with me, you're not going to have my blessing or my approval. In Genesis 20:7, Abraham and Sarah come into town. He said, it's my sister. Well, if that be the case, I'll just take your sister. But God spoke to that king, maybe that night, and basically said, you restore this man his wife or die. You're all but dead men. It's make restitution or die. It's make restitution or God shuts the door. It's over for you. You give him his wife back. Restitution or die. Exodus 22:3. If this man can't pay back, he shall be sold for his theft. I believe I've pastored folks. I could be preaching to some even now that are living in slavery, that are living in sin because they got something that they ain't supposed to have. And because they haven't fixed it and haven't got it made right yet, God said, sell him. And so they're living in bondage. When a man was sold, he was sold into slavery. He became another man's servant and lived out in the slave quarters and got up and worked all day and didn't get anything for it. Amen. He went into slavery. And so God said, he'll make it right or he'll be sold into slavery. You'd like to be set free. You'd like to have freedom to worship. You'd like to be able to come to the house of God and feel the liberty of the Holy Ghost. But something's in the way. Maybe you've been sold. Did y'all get my title yet? You still got that cow? I believe I could identify my cow. I believe somebody had my cow that have to keep it hid. Did you get that? A hidden cow. What good is a hidden cow? It's out in the barn and the doors are shut. And nobody knows it's there but you. Every time that thing bawls, you look out the window hoping nobody heard that. Every time the preacher mentions that from the pulpit, you cringe because you've got that thing in the barn locked up and you don't want anybody to know. You can't hardly enjoy the thing because it's hidden, it's secret. What good is it? If I had a cow, I'd have it out running. I want grain or grass-fed beef. I want the thing to run loose. I don't want to have to keep it hid all the time. Put a saddle on it, pretend like it's a horse. That ain't going to work. Everybody's going to know it's a cow. Everybody's going to know you ain't supposed to have a cow. Got it hid. It's hid. Go out at night. Take it from the barn way back to the back 40. Lead it around on a leash for a little while nobody's looking. The neighbor that you got it from's in bed. And here you are. You can't enjoy life because you just know somebody's going to catch you with a cow. Wouldn't life be a whole lot better just take the cow back? Wouldn't life be way more quality if you just go down the road and say, here's your cow. I can't live like this anymore. Sold into slavery. Now, kind of getting where we're going. Verse 6 says, if fire break out, catch in thorns, so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn in the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. I know a preacher over in our country went out and burned the trash, got the trash set on fire, went in the house, the wind got in it, and got out. It burned up his yard, it got across the fence, and I mean, it burned up acres and acres. He told somebody, said, ain't nothing to me. He said, that fella that owns that farm over there has a sign, no trespassing. You just let it burn? You just let it burn? You think when he put that no trespassing sign up there, you think that farmer was thinking, now if my field catches on fire, don't you cross that fence. Don't you come dragging no hose over here. You think he really meant that? I don't care what the farmer meant. God said, you kindle a fire, you start a fire, and it gets out, and it gets onto the neighbor's property, you will surely make restitution. Fire. Now, James 3, 5 through 6 says, the tongue is a fire. You said, what? You didn't say that. You did? You started a fire? And the Bible says concerning this, it set on fire of hell. What you said originated in hell. And you said it. Behold how great a matter, little fire. I could come in here with a big lighter, make a flame that big, set that flag on fire. In a little bit, we got a flag on fire. And it gets the tile. In just a little bit, no time at all, this building's on fire because of a little one. You just told one person. And that person added to the fire. And they told one. And they told one. I had lightning hit a trailer that I owned here 10, 12 years ago. Set it on fire. Fire department came, put it out. I let the fire department come back and practice on it. When they got done, it's yours. Here it is. So I called the place, and they said, if you get the shingles off of it, you can burn it. So I got out there with a flat shovel, tore shingles all off of it, put them in it. They didn't say what had to do with them. Let's get them off of it. I called and said, I'm going to burn this trailer. All right, go for it. I got in there with a big lighter and a little wad of newspaper or something. And there was a piece of an old chair, cloth chair there. I turned it upside down. I put that newspaper in there, and I flicked that bic one time. Like I said, flame about a little fire. I got that thing on fire just a little bit. I stood up. I watched that chair caught fire. And I'm going to say in a matter of seconds, I was headed for the door. Trailer will go quick. I got out in the yard. I'd park my truck over in the driveway a little ways from it. And I would say in 10 minutes, that thing was an absolute raging inferno. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now, if a man steals an ox, he can make it right. He can take the ox back. He can make restitution, a sheep. But now I'd like to ask you a question. How do you make restitution for a lie? You just ask the Lord to forgive you and go on letting the fire rage. It's burning your neighbor's house. It's done got over into the church. It's done worked its way into the school. It's downtown. Sinners are hearing it and fanning the flame. And you think you just ask God to forgive you and let that fire burn? We're getting where we're headed. We're getting there. You still got that cow? You said, what did you know? There are families that could get put back together if they just go say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I have a confession. You're going to lose confidence in me. I already know it. But if it'll help you with me any, this was about 40 years ago. Somebody asked me, before you were saved, did you... Y'all know there's some stuff you just don't ask people. And there's some stuff you don't volunteer to tell. And you know, those situations, they're looking at you. And the wheels are turning. And I'm reaching this panic. I could say, ain't none of your business. That's a yeah. If I say, did you ever rob a bank before you got saved? You say, it ain't none of your business. You robbed a bank. The answer was yes, guilty. I said, no. You know what we call that in the Ozarks? Lying. Does the Bible say that all liars have their part in the lake of fire? Would that mean me? I done started preaching. I done preached there 4 or 5 times. Worldwide ministry. I went on my way. Woo! I think I had a heavier load then than I did the night I got saved. I couldn't stand it. But I discovered a verse in the Bible. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I tried it. Don't take this wrong. I'm not faulting Scripture, but it didn't work. I got no relief. I backed off and tried it again. No relief. What am I going to do? It went on for days. My testimony at church just crashed and burned. My zeal, my confidence was gone, and I had a cloud, a weight hanging over me. And then somebody said, I didn't tell them, but somebody come around and said, sometimes we have to walk by faith and not by feeling. Can we do that? I'm just a young convert. Yeah, you just walk by faith and not by feeling. Just name it and claim it. I said, all right, God, I ask you to forgive me. So there, you have to do it. It didn't work. I still live in, if you could even call it that. And I began to get this gut sick feeling that I was going to have to fix it. And I said, the Lord, you apparently ain't thought this through. If I go back and say I lied to you, my ministry's over. They'll tell it. I've just been starting preaching. Floyd Parks done let me preach over at Junction Hill. And I think Jerome Hess done let me preach. You may have it. It's way, way back there. They'll find out what a big fat liar I am. And my ministry is over. Lord, you ain't considered that. I'll never be able to preach again if I go back and say I lied. Lord, you just ain't thought this through. I couldn't get him convinced. He seemed like he thought he knew more about it than I did. I moped around and I moped, and I just finally, here goes, ministry's over, crash and burn. I found that person. I didn't bawl him out. I didn't blame him. I told God many a time, Lord, you, the people ain't supposed to ask stuff like that. It ain't my fault. If they hadn't asked, I wouldn't have been forced into telling a lie. Wasn't my fault. The Lord didn't seem to believe it wasn't my fault. I said, you remember way back when you asked me, yeah? And I said, no. Yeah. Well, I lied to you. Oh, okay. What? That's it? You're not going to run and tell Floyd Parks and Jerome Hess? And you're not going to? No? Well, yeah, but, I mean, you got to take his chance. Ruin me if you can. I mean, somehow or another, I took the cow back. I turned from that person and went on my way. Something come back to me that had been gone. I got a feeling of confidence and peace and something. And remember, I was back then. I wasn't saved in a holiness church. This been way back there. Something, I didn't know what to call it. Something was back. The spring was back. That light feeling, my testimony came back alive again because I took the cow back. You still got that cow? You said what to your wife? I know men that are so good, so righteous and holy, and so manly and macho, they wouldn't humble themselves to their wives at all. What a man. You didn't really say that. Nobody say anything. That's stupid. And whatever happened to that person I lied to, I looked around here a while back, I was at a camp meeting, and I was preaching. And I looked over on the platform, and there it was, both of us. Now, I'm not the poster child for success in a ministry, but I preached some youth camp since then. Preached y'all's youth camp way back when. I'm pastoring my sixth church. I spent 5 years on the evangelistic field. Stayed reasonably busy. Here I am. Been 40 years ago. You may not ever have me again since you found out what a big fat liar I am. You still got that cow? You can't keep it. The tongue is a fire, world of iniquity. It is set on the fires of hell. That's what caused a marriage problem in your home. Amen. That's what's caused you to have to change churches over and over and over again. You built a fire and you added to it and you threw gas on it. The Bible says where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. You cannot just ask God to forgive you and keep the cow. Or watch the fire burn. Can't be done. There is a maturity that the tongue reveals. Shad McDonald said a few nights ago, I've never had to apologize for something I didn't say. I have never had to apologize for something I didn't say. There is a maturity that the tongue reveals. There is a ministry that the tongue fulfills. There are six metaphors: bit, rudder, poison, fire, fountain, and fruit tree. All concerning the tongue. It is a fire. There is a ministry of direction. That's the bit and the rudder. And then there is a ministry of destruction. That's the fire and the poison. Poison is intentional. Fire can be accidental. I've told things. I got it from a good source. And then found out it wasn't right. When am I going to learn to keep my big mouth shut? You're thinking what I'm about to say, but I ain't going to do it. I said, when am I going to learn to keep my big mouth shut? Shad said, I've never had to apologize for something I didn't say. Psalms 140 and 3, they have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Poison of asp is under their tongues. Wow. Tongues like a serpent. Out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible said, the mouth speaks. That's the words of Jesus Christ. There is a mastery that the tongue demands, because the Bible says no man can tame the tongue. I seen an old boy one time, got him a big mouth full of something, held a match out and blew, and I'm telling you, he looked like a blowtorch. Ball of fire that big out of his mouth, and the crowd cheered him. He got him a big mouthful, done it again. He done practice till he could do that. I've pastored folks that could and did. No man contained the tongue. God contained the tongue. The tongue is both refreshing and revolting. You can use the tongue to bless men. It's refreshing. You can use the tongue to curse men. That's revolting. It's kind of up to you how you're going to do that, which way you're going to go. How do you make restitution for a lie? Can you just ask God to forgive you and go on? Because after you have started that fire with your tongue, and again, it's in the church, and it's in the school, and the neighborhood, and the fellowship, and everywhere you go, it's being told again and again, and it didn't get started out. You just told that, and here it is. How do you make restitution for gossip? If a man starts a fire, and it gets out, he shall surely make restitution. The tongue is a fire. I heard a story's illustration. Woman got to talking, woman at church, and she told stuff. And finally, pastor traced it down to her. It was all over town. She admitted, I told it. He said, come go with me. And they went up to the belfry at their church, and he had a pillow. And he tore it open, handed it to her, and said, dump it out. She said, but he said, dump it out. She turned that feather pillow upside down and shook the feathers out in it. And they stood there for a while and watched. Nobody said a thing. As the wind carried him everywhere, he said, now take that pillowcase and go gather every one of them up and put it back. She said, pastor, that's an impossibility. Yep. Yep. Where am I at? The marriage could be saved. The church split could be avoided. Didn't God say, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm? You said what about the man of God? You told that to who? You gossiped that to you, not surely you didn't do that or say that. And you think you're going to come now to the pulpit where the man of God stands that you have told things on or talked about or misrepresented the truth and just kneel here and make it right with God without making it right with him? Impossible. Now, after a while, I'm going to open the altar. But before I open the altar, I'm going to open the aisle, because some of you are wasting your time coming to the altar until you get out in the aisle with him or her, your son, your daughter, your wife, your husband. Altars are not open. The aisle is open. I can't do that. Oh, yeah, you can. You'll surely be sold if you don't. You need to get out right now and go into your barn and get that thing. Fix it. You need to get out the fire extinguisher now before it catches another field on fire. Before another church catches fire. Before another ministry goes down. The aisles are open. I can be stubborn. I don't believe that however long ago it was, Brother Randy called me and asked me about this while we were on the phone. This is what come to my heart. This. God didn't send me down here at this word unless it's going to accomplish that it was sent forth. What kind of camp meeting could go on this week if somebody would meet somebody in the aisle? Well, I would if he would. He's sitting there thinking, well, I would if he would. Who's going to be the most mature? Who's going to be the man? Who's going to be the strongest? Who's going to be the one that instead of just sitting there, I know what I said, I know what I did, but I mean, you'd ought to heard what he said. Pastor took a church. Two men were into it in his church. Wouldn't speak to one another. He went over to this man. And I mean, he gave him the lowdown on that man. And the pastor listened a little bit. When he got done, the pastor said, is there anything at all about him that's good? Well, anything. Just name one thing about him that you like. He said, well, he does run a good business. He went to the other man. He run him down. He said, well, I just over at his house a while ago. He told me that you ran a really good business. He didn't tell him nothing else. He said, you run a really good business. He said that about me. Yeah. I just said it. He said it. Huh. Is there anything about, well, you know, now that you mention it, and he said something positive about that fella. Pastor went back over there, maybe same day. And he said, so-and-so, I seen your buddy over there. And he said this. He said that about me? He did. He said it to me. Well, I declare. They run into one another. I don't know. Is that out in the town, the church, and shook hands and made it right? You might say they exchanged cows. You might say they put the fire out. The tongue is a fire. Your marriage, your son, I just went out to California. My high school buddy, we went to jail together. We were buddies. His sister said, have you heard about Tim? No, he's got lung and brain cancer. He's got no time to live. I got that news on Friday or Saturday, Tuesday night, I was there. He's a heathen. He's been an alcoholic for 35 years. I went out into his house. It's a shack. And after hospice and everybody got gone, I said, Tim, are you scared? He hesitated just enough that I could tell he was. And then he shook his head. I said, what's going to happen to you when you die? He looked thoughtful and then he went, I said, what makes you think that? He didn't know. I said, let me tell you what Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Have you been born again? He started to cry. He blubbered and cried, and I told him about the publican that smote his breast and said, have mercy on me, a sinner. I said, Tim, will you do that right now? And he blubbered and bawled, and I couldn't understand him a little bit. He kind of got his breath, got control of himself, and he said, what were those words again? God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he said it, and he quit crying and started laughing. He prayed through to the joy of the Holy Ghost and didn't even know what it was. He's got a son. They haven't spoke to one another, I think his sister said, in 8 years. I said, you think he'd talk to me? Probably not. I said, does he know his dad's dying? Yep, he don't care. What brought this on? How'd this happen between a father and his son? She said, well, his mother committed suicide. And Tim married again. And boy got grown, got out. One day, Tim told him, I'm going to come down to where you're at. I'll see you tomorrow at 5 o'clock. And he didn't go. And that boy never got over it. I said, does he know his dad's dying? Yep. Said,
his grandma and grandpa sent him the money for gas to come up here and see his dad before he dies. He spent the money and won't come. That saddened me. I don't even know the boy. Does that make you sad at all?
Yeah.
Did you know everybody in this building's gonna die?
Yeah.
Have you got it fixed with him? Did you fix it with her? You still got that cow?
Yeah, come on.
Aisles are still open. I was hoping for more conviction than this. Aisles are still open. If God sent this message, you better heed this. You better pay attention to this. Not later. Camp meeting starts tonight. Not later. Now. Right now. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 6, "Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. This do. Give not rest to thine eyes nor slumber to thine eyelids. Go right now and make sure your friend now. Don't go home and go to bed without fixing it. Now. The fire's going because of what was said." How about it? Would you stand to your feet? I like to preach better. I usually like to preach better. How about it? I've done it in a pulpit. Leon Buzzard's preaching a camp meeting, and the Lord brought it to his attention. You said that about him. Fix it. He said in his mind, he said, "Okay, Lord, as soon as I get done," he said, "the Lord said, you fix it now. Right in the middle of my sermon, fix it now." He just quit. Took the mic with him, said, "Brother so-and-so, stand up. I want you to forgive me. I said this." And that man hugged him. They shook hands. Leon turned to go back to the pulpit. When he did, he said, "Looked like stampede. People coming from over here and over there and meeting in now, shaking hands and hugging one another's neck and fixing everything." God did move at that camp meeting. I could ask for a show of hands. Anybody here besides me ever said something you got sorry for? I've apologized to my children, my wife, my congregation. I don't want to go to God while the fire's still burning and things are going up in smoke when I could stop that. It could be fixed just real easy. I mean, that's all it takes. Like I told you, I told that person, I lied to you and I thought my ministry is through. And here it is 40 years later. I wonder what would my ministry be right now if I just went on, tried to keep preaching, tried to keep worshiping God, and that fire burning. That fire that I started by telling a lie with my tongue. I wouldn't be here. I can't imagine being here if that was the case. How about it? When I preach to the lost and give an altar call, every saint in the church thinks, "Get up, go to the altar, get saved. It's easy, I did it." But now here, when it's the saint's turn, all of a sudden going out and fixing it and getting out now and doing somehow or another, that's different. The sinner ought to. The saints ought to.
Good gracious.
All right. I told you I was going to open the altar. Come on, let's pray. You may need, if you just couldn't get out in the aisle, maybe meet somebody in this altar.